Acts chapter 16, you can kind of put your finger there because we'll refer to it several times. But we know that whole story about Paul and Silas in prison. And we know how it affected the prisoners and their chains were broken. But they still sat there to hear the praises that they were singing. And we saw the effect that it had on the jailer. And the jailer, once all the prisoners' chains are broken off and the doors fly open as a result of that praise, you know, the jailer is there and he's thinking he's dead because all the prisoners have escaped. So he's ready to kill himself, and Paul cries out and says, no, we're all still here. The result of that is that the jailer calls for a light because he's going into the darkness. Paul and Silas were in the inner cell in the darkness, and he takes that light, and he says to Paul and Silas, sirs, now these are prisoners. Remember I told you week number one, the jailer is supposed to be doing all, he's well paid to make the prisoners as uncomfortable as possible. But now here he comes, and he elevates Paul and Silas. He says, sirs, which the word itself goes back, it's a phrase of honor. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And then he takes Paul and Silas, he washes off all their wounds, he takes them, and the jailer and his entire household are saved and baptized. This is all the result of Paul and Silas praising and worshiping Jesus, even in the midst of that prison. So we also spent a lot of time over the last 2 weeks looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. And in those verses, we learned one of the main points was making melody. And there was two parts of the definition. We're going to look at the second part later. But the first part of that definition that I want us to remember this morning as we get started, that first part of the definition of making melody in your heart, it means to vibrate a musical instrument of praise as you would a harp. And we saw that our voices are our instruments of praise. As we pluck these instruments of praise, we are creating spiritual vibrations that flow out from the source of the praise, and it causes spiritual waves of change in the world around us. Now, Paul and Silas, they sang their songs of praise in those horrible conditions in prison. They were our example of the power of corporate prayer, of our prayers together. Now, you have power in your songs of praise individually, but take advantage. When we come together on Sunday mornings or any time you're part of corporate praise, take advantage of that and realize the power that comes when we are singing songs together. We also saw last week how our voices are to be fitted together, one to another, fitted together in songs of praise. And we saw that demonstrated by the symphony orchestra. This instrument of praise, if it's not doing its part, if it's not playing its assigned role in his song of praise, the song is incomplete and it loses its fullness of power. We ended last week by looking at Ephesians chapter 5. We went back to the very beginning and looked at those first two verses because that was the foundation upon which 19 and 20, which we spent so much time on. So let's look at those two verses again. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, we're able to offer our lives as a sacrifice to him. And yes, part of that sacrifice is the sacrifice of praise. It's the fruit of our lips. And the sacrifices of our lives, including the sacrifice of our praise, it is a sweet aroma to him and for him. Now let's go back to the Old Testament. In Ezekiel chapter 20, as you're reading through Ezekiel chapter 20, you'll see that God is talking about the sacrifice offerings of his people in service to him. And God says about this, he says, because of their sacrifice offerings, he has accepted them as a sweet aroma to him. Our sacrifice offerings, including our sacrifice of praise, is a sweet aroma to Jesus. But it's also a sweet aroma that is then caught by the world itself. Your sacrifices of praise, sweet aroma to him and a sweet aroma to the world. Let me look at just one verse from Ezekiel. This is chapter 20, verse number 41 in the Amplified Bible. I will accept you graciously as a pleasant odor when I lead you out of the peoples and gather you out of the countries in which you have been scattered, and I will manifest my holiness among you and in the sight of the nations who will seek me because of my power displayed in you. You and I, having accepted Jesus' sacrificial work on our part, having accepted that sacrificial work, His holiness is manifested in us. So because of that, our sacrifice offerings, including our sacrifice of praise, our sacrifice offerings are seen by the entire world. The world itself sees it. When you sit here and corporately praise and worship, the world may not be at the window looking, but it has an effect, and it does reach the world itself. Our sacrifice offerings of praise are seen by the world, and it causes men to seek after Jesus. And that's what we saw with Paul and Silas. The effect of their praise. Look at the effect of their praise on both the prisoners and on the jailer as well. Here's what praise does, and here's what your sacrifice of praise does. Praise leads to His power on display for you and I. And again, we see that example in Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were singing those songs of praise. And when they were singing those songs of praise, they were literally shaping the world around them. When you and I, when we offer our praise together, when we sing praises together, our voices fitted together as part of that song of praise that He has for us, when that happens, we are literally shaping the world around us. Now think about that. When you're singing praises, you are creating changes in the physical world, shaping it so that it lines up with the Word of God and His promises. This is the power of our praise and our singing His praises together. Our praises, our sacrifice offerings of praise to Jesus change the lives around us. And so it affects others, but and it also does this. It allows you and I to participate in His victory parade. And it's a victory parade that the world sees. When I first got saved, I went through the Bible and I found one verse that I could memorize in each book of the Bible. And the verses, the one verse, I have two verses, but the verse that I memorized from 2 Corinthians was this one. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14 is the one I memorized, but it's verses 14 and 15. I'm going to show you this in the Complete Jewish Bible because I like the way that it expresses it. But thanks be to God, who in the Messiah constantly leads us in a triumphal procession and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance, again, it's that sweet aroma of our praise. You are that sweet aroma. And spreads that fragrance, spreads everywhere that fragrance of what it means to know Him. For to God we are the aroma of the Messiah, both amongst those being saved and among those being lost. So the verse begins by saying, but thanks be to God. So we see the praise element of it. When we sing songs of praise together, when we are together corporately singing songs of praise, when our voices are fitted together in those songs of praise to Jesus Christ, we then become participants in His triumphal procession. We become participants in His victory parade. We quite literally become the sweet aroma of Jesus Christ and His salvation to the world. There should be a smile somewhere out there. It's like really good stuff. That's good, exciting stuff from the Word of God. I love the imagery that those two verses create for us. I love that imagery because Jesus has provided for us victory. He's provided victory over everything that pertains to this life. He's provided that victory. And so because we have that victory, we now have the opportunity to participate, to walk in His triumphal procession, His victory parade. In Roman times, victorious Roman generals would lead their armies in victory parades. And you're going to see the Bible refers to this in a moment. But victorious Roman generals would lead their armies in victory parades through Rome. They would literally lead their armies through the streets of Rome in this big victory parade and celebration. And it wouldn't just include just the soldiers. It also included captives. Part of the victory parade was bringing those who were defeated. The captives were part of the parade to show and display their defeat. And it also, part of that victory parade, was bringing the spoils of war and demonstrating the spoils of war. This is what they did. So all of that was on public display for everyone to see. Now we get a really good example of that from, I mean, one of the things for us as believers is we know the Roman Empire, we really know it in terms of what it did to Jerusalem and Israel. Great example. So when the Romans defeated Jerusalem, and when the Romans in 70 AD totally destroyed the temple of God, leaving not one stone upon another, the victorious general and the man who was soon to become the emperor of Rome itself was a man named Titus. So following that victory, Titus had a victory parade back in Rome. He had a victory parade, and in that parade, his armies marched through the streets of Rome, and they had Jewish captives that were going through the streets with them. And they also had spoils of war, including implements from the house of God itself, from the temple of God. Look at this picture. This is a picture of, it's called the Arch of Titus. And if you go to Rome today, this arch is there. This arch was built to commemorate Titus's victory over the Jews. And if you look inside, you can't see it, it's in here, but this next picture will show you. On this arch, there is actually a relief. Carved on that arch is this scene. This is the scene of the victory parade of Titus through Rome. And look, they're carrying not just implements from the temple of God, they have the actual menorah taken from the holy place in the temple of God on display. This is what the Romans did. Now Paul's talking about all this probably a decade before it actually happened. He's using this as an illustration. But I want you to see how the Romans did it. And I want you to see that because we can then understand the victory parade that we are in. So God has caused us, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, God has caused us to triumph over all things in Jesus. He's caused us to triumph. He's caused us to triumph so that we can then and sing our songs of praise. We then become, he's caused us to triumph so that we can every day be a part of that victory parade of Jesus. And that victory parade that we are a part of, it demonstrates to the world, it puts on public display for the entire world to see the power and the victory of Jesus Christ. It puts on public display as we sing those songs of praise together. It puts on public display the defeat of Satan. Puts it on public display. And it puts on public display all of the spoils of his victory. That means all of your sickness, all of your financial problems, all the emotional problems, all of those we have victory, and they are the spoils of war, and the world sees on public display. We walk in the victories of Jesus Christ. It's part of that public display. Now there's another part. Let me go back to the Romans for just a second. There's another vital part of that Roman victory parade, and it was the carrying of censers. So they would carry censers. You have this big victory parade. And throughout the parade, there would be people carrying these censers. Censers are containers. And in these containers, these censers would actually burn sweet-smelling spices. And these burning spices would put off a pleasant odor, would put off a sweet aroma that wafted out and carried all through the assembled crowd, this sweet-smelling aroma. You and I, we are the sweet aroma of Jesus Christ. We are the sweet aroma that goes out. We're the sweet aroma that moves out and touches the lives of others as we sing our songs of praise. So that's, again, the Roman. Let me go back to what Paul is talking about. Look again at how Paul describes the triumphal procession, the victory parade of Jesus. But I want you to see it this time from the Expanded Bible. So the Expanded Bible, this is 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15 again. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's victory parade procession, the images of a victorious Roman general leading his army and his captives through the streets. God uses us to spread his knowledge everywhere like a sweet-smelling perfume. The aroma, the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Incense or spices were burned during such victory parades. Our offering to God is this, or for God's sake, or to God. We are the sweet smell, aroma, fragrance of Christ amongst those who are being saved and among those who are being lost, perishing, headed for its destruction. The sweet-smelling aroma is a perfume. It's a perfume. You and I are that perfume. The songs of Paul and Silas, the songs of praise that Paul and Silas sang, those songs, Paul and Silas were the censers in that victory parade. They were the censers, and they put off that sweet perfume, that sweet perfume that drew the hearts of men to Jesus. And we saw the effects of that, because you saw the jailer and his entire household being saved and baptized. Today, you and I, today, we are his censers in his victory parade. We are the ones that, we're the censers holding those sweet-smelling spices. We're the censers that carry it, and that sweet-smelling aroma comes through us and our praise. We're that sweet-smelling aroma so that when we sing our songs of praise with our voices fitted together, we become that sweet aroma of Jesus Christ to the world, the knowledge of Jesus and his salvation to the world. Your voice becomes a unique perfume for Jesus. Let's go back to the Old Testament again. This is going all the way back to Exodus. Am I moving too fast for you? Would you say anything if I was? Let's go back to the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 30, God is giving his instructions for the building of the tabernacle and all the things that are associated with the tabernacle. And then starting in verse number 22, God speaks specifically about the oil and the oil that is to be made into the holy anointing oil. So God is speaking about that and what that's going to become. So let's look at that in verses 23 through 25 of Exodus chapter 30. Also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh. Myrrh is known for its scent. Half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels. 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a half hin of olive oil. So we have all these spices, and we have olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. So the holy anointing oil that God is giving specific instructions on how it's made, the holy anointing oil is a combination of oil and these sweet-smelling spices. And the way they're combined together, that then holy anointing oil was sprinkled on the implements and on the furnishings of the tabernacle, marking those things as being separated, set aside for service to Jesus Christ or service to God for his purposes and for his uses. But I want you to notice in that verse, because we're going to come back to it, notice that it says this holy anointing oil, it was mixed according to the art of the perfumer. So we're going to come back to that. Everything that was in the tabernacle, it had to be consecrated because everything in the tabernacle was set aside for his usage, for usage in service to God. Everything in the tabernacle had to be anointed because everything in the tabernacle was going to come in contact with, listen to this, it was going to come in contact with the divine. So it had to be anointed. So just as In the same way, just as everything in the tabernacle was anointed, so too are you anointed. So too are you anointed for his service in the divine, in the spiritual realm. Remember, we talked about this last week. Our instrument of praise, our voice of praise, our songs of praise, this instrument of praise. Remember, this is what we talked about this last week of making melody. This is the second part of the definition. Making melody, second part of it means to touch the surface of the spiritual realm, to touch the divine. So your songs of praise, my voice, my instrument of praise is literally touching the spiritual realm. Touching the spiritual realm and changing things. It's creating those spiritual vibrations that create those spiritual waves of change whose power changes things in this natural world. So the things of the natural world line up with the things of the spiritual world and the things of God. You have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. You've been set aside, sanctified for his usage, for his purposes. You are the censer in that victory parade that we march in. You are the censer in that victory parade. And as such, we are supposed to be offering up this sweet anointing fragrance, this holy oil fragrance, this perfume of Jesus Christ to the assembled crowd, to the people that are around us. You are a unique perfume in Jesus. You are the holy anointing oil in his censer, in his victory parade. And as such, you are irreplaceable in his victory. You are irreplaceable in his victory parade. And remember, we saw that when that holy anointing oil was mixed, we saw that it was mixed according to the art of the perfumer. You are also the perfumer. You are. Because it is mixed. The art of mixing is done in the unique creation of you. The art of the mixing is done uniquely in you, unlike anybody else. If we go back to Exodus chapter 30, remember it said that the holy anointing oil was a mixture of the oil with these various weights of spices. So let's look at that. What's the oil? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is already in you. What are the sweet spices? I actually researched this. The sweet spices represent the nature of Christ. So we have the oil, which is the Holy Spirit, and we have the sweet spices, which represent the nature of Christ. When you take on the nature of Christ, and that's the decision every day, I can either choose on to take his nature, which is in me, or I can choose to take on the nature of the flesh. But when you choose to take on the nature of Jesus Christ in the unique creation of you, it is then mixed with the oil of the Holy Spirit that is already in you as a believer. And then from that is created that unique perfume of you for Jesus. This is who we are. You are the artisan. You are the perfumer with the unique smell, the unique fragrance, the unique perfume of Jesus Christ. This is who you are. Sing your songs of praise. Singing songs of praise with our voices fitted together one to another. And here's what happens. You are the censer in his victory parade. And from you comes that unique perfume of Jesus Christ in his victory parade. Now, there's twofold effect from that. The first thing is, your voice is an instrument of praise. And as I said, as an instrument of praise, it is touching, stroking, vibrating the spiritual realm and bringing about those powerful changes. Your praising, your songs of praise bring forth those powerful changes that are manifested in this natural world. Here's the second thing. Your praise is that sweet-smelling aroma of Jesus Christ coming through the censer of you and It draws people to Jesus. It's what we saw with Paul and Silas. We saw with Paul and Silas as the jailer and his family were drawn unto him. And we can see that. That is the truth. We see that, again, by the example of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were singing those songs of praise. Their songs of praise did two things. Their songs of praise released that spiritual energy which brought freedom to those prisoners. It was a physical response. But their songs of praise were also that aroma, that sweet aroma of Jesus. It was that perfume that drew the hearts in. And so you saw the change, and the change resulted in salvation and in baptism of the jailer. And that led to a victory parade. Look at this from Acts. In Acts chapter 16, this is the story of Paul and Silas after they had been released by the jailer from prison. Verse 33 says this, "And he took them the same hour of the night, and he bathed them," Paul and Silas, "because of their bloody wounds." Remember, they had been beaten before they were brought in. "And he was baptized immediately," the jailer, "and all the members of his household." Here's the victory parade. Picture this. You've got a victory parade with the jailer, every member of his household, and Paul and Silas. They parade to wherever it is that Paul and Silas are bathed. And presumably in that same bloodied water, every member, the jailer and every member of his family, believe, receive salvation, and are baptized. And all of that is a result of the praise and worship. The songs of praise of Paul and Silas' voices fitted together in singing praises corporately to Jesus. It's the two effects. You see the physical, but you also are drawing men unto Jesus. So go back one more time to the tabernacle of the Old Covenant. And we saw that holy anointing oil. We saw that it got its fragrance from what? It got its fragrance from those sweet spices. And we saw that those sweet spices represented Jesus Christ and the nature of Jesus. If you go back, all of those spices that were used in the temple, they didn't give off their aroma. They didn't give off their fragrance until they were bruised or crushed. This is the example of Jesus Christ. He is those sweet-smelling aromas. But he was bruised, beaten, and died for us, taking away the bitterness of sin and death and bringing us the sweetness of salvation. It's the example of Jesus. Paul and Silas followed up on that example, and they set an example for you and I. Paul and Silas were bruised, beaten, and persecuted. But they sang songs of praise to Jesus, even in those horrible conditions of prison. And their songs of praise were a sweet aroma. They were the censers, and that was a sweet aroma that led others to Jesus Christ. It affected both the prisoners, and it affected the jailer and all of the jailer's household entirely. You and I, when we come together in praise, on Sundays when you come here and we sit down and we praise together, it is an opportunity. Picture yourself. You are a censer in his victory parade. And you are putting off that sweet aroma of Jesus Christ in all of its power. You're putting that off. It doesn't matter. You might feel like you are being crushed and defeated by life itself, but you come and you praise Jesus Christ, and you put off all that power in your life and the lives around you, but it puts off that sweet aroma that draws men to Jesus Christ as well. Our power of corporate praise, our power of singing songs together with our voices fitted together, it has an impact. It creates that quake with physical and spiritual results. And the praises of your voices are that sweet aroma of Jesus Christ. You're the censer. It is that perfume, the unique perfume of you that draws men to Jesus Christ. You are the censer in his victory parade. And that victory parade, it is on display for the entire world to see, putting on public display the power, the victory of Jesus, Satan's defeat, as he's paraded in front in his defeat. And it also puts on display all of those spoils of war as the world sees you walking in the victories of Jesus Christ. When we sing songs of praise together, sing passionately. Doesn't matter who else is around you. Sing passionately. Be that censer in his victory parade. Amen. Let's stand up and close in a song of praise.